Episode 57, Working Class on Deercast. I am here this week with Dylan Gandy from Whitetail Edge. Dylan, nice entrance. What's up? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm real good. Both of us have tags filled, so we're probably doing a lot better than the rest of my crew, at least.
It's actually a little bit harder on me.
Really?
Because I've got like three absolute giants on camera, and I want another tag so bad I can't stand it.
That's good problems, though.
Yeah, I guess. Survive. Actually, I have two now. My mom whacked one.
Yeah, so let's get into that. We'll get into that here in a minute. But
all right. Dude,
we've been talking about doing a podcast in our studio with Ben for too long now. And now I made that post the other day about who do you want to hear on the podcast? And then that makes it worse probably, yeah. But it's for people who out there listening that want to hear the Whitetail Edge boys on like in the studio. We want that too. It's just getting everything to work out, especially in November, coming out of November. It's tough.
Yeah. Ben gets so laser focused in deer season, man. It's like, he's a whole other person, different animal,
yeah.
But people are probably gonna be disappointed. They're gonna see Whitetail Edge and get all excited, and then they're like, "Oh, it's just Dylan."
I'll just make sure Dylan is like on loud and clear on the cover art. You told me not to call you Dylan, and now I'm just calling you Dylan. So that's how
if you put Whitetail Edge, it'll be clickable, then everyone will just be disappointed.
They won't. You're going to join in. How the hell did you get on Whitetail Edge? Start with that as we get going, and there's more to unravel as we get moving in.
Yeah. Geez, it dates back a long time. Ben had an outfitting company, Wicked Ridge Outfitters. Have you ever heard of that?
Mm-mm.
He had some pretty high end clients, you know, like Bone Collector Boys were coming in and, you know, having great success there. And, you know,
all
obviously
Ohio based.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, you know, had that name from the juries and made a name for himself there. And, so that's, you know, how everyone came to know Ben. And obviously that's how I knew of Ben, was watching him. And, you know, I was a fan of the juries and stuff like that growing up, just like I think any of us were.
Of course.
And so, you know, like out of high school, I was just trying to find my path and what I wanted to do. You know, I knew I didn't want to punch a clock into a 9-to-5, which I did for a long time. You know,
mm-hmm.
It started off, you know, I was fairly young, and Instagram was kind of new and stuff like that. And I came across Kenny Bevins, who was Ben's cameraman at Drury, on Instagram. And Kenny's just a great guy. You know, he's willing to reach out and talk to anybody. And that's, you know, I came to know Kenny through like Instagram messaging back and forth. And I was like, hey, I was like, I know your buddy Ben has an outfitting company, Wicked Ridge. And he goes, yeah. And I was like, well, you should see if he's looking to hire anybody. And dude, just by fate, Ben was looking to hire somebody. And
hey,
this is
how you gotta shoot your shot, man.
Exactly. So, you know, I was going through the ringer of 9-to-5s and doing a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't want to do. And Ben, I was able to get in contact with Ben. Ben reaches out and he goes, yeah, why don't you come over to my place and, you know, we'll have an interview. So I'm like, all right.
Shit, it's happening. Yeah.
Yeah. So I go and meet with Ben, and we just clicked, you know, instantly, and met the family and stuff like that. They treated me like family.
Mm-hmm.
And he hired me on, brought me on. And I guess, as you say, you know, the rest is history. But, you know, there were so many different curves and bumps along the way, you know, that kind of changed the trajectory of where I'm at now. And, you know, so I was helping with the outfitting and stuff, filming hunts. Long story short, I ended up going to Kentucky with Ben, filming a hunt down at Austin Musselman's from a homegrown experience. Mm-hmm. And ended up getting sick like shortly after, and, you know, didn't know what the heck was wrong with me. I had zero energy, like heart palpitations, high fevers. Turns out that they believe I had Rocky Mountain spotted fever from a tick.
No kidding.
Yeah. And that turned into just about, man. Like, it was health issue after health issue.
Did it just like come out of nowhere, or was like a slow, gradual?
Well, at first, man, like I felt like I had a cold or something, you know. I felt like really run down, zero energy. And, you know, I'm sleeping in, which Ben will tell you, like, I'm a sleeper.
Yeah.
But dude, like it was beyond any exhaustion I've ever had. And so I ended up going home. I was staying with my girlfriend at the time, and one night, you know, like I ended up wetting the bed, and I was like out of it, just passed out, like out of my mind, just crazy high temperature. And they took me in, and yeah, they believe I had Rocky Mountain. So get out of the hospital. I was like a constant thing of like going back and forth to the hospital. I mean, it was scary on certain times, you know, they were doing tons of testing and heart rate going through the roof. I'm on blood pressure medicine to this day. Like it really screwed me up.
Ticks are the devil, man. They're pretty sure that's what it was.
Yeah. Like, so they ended up diagnosing it like as a fever of unknown origin is what they called it. But I had a bite on me. And when I was down there, Austin Musselman shot a absolute giant deer, but it was covered in ticks, little sea ticks. And I think, you know, I just didn't see that one, you know? And
well, I mean, you can't, some of them, you can't get it all, or, you know, what I mean? It's just like, you can't stress out about it, but I guess just shit happens. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it now. It's whatever. I mean, it's not going to stop me from going out. You know, I pull ticks off me all the time. So,
right. Yeah. So what did it ruin your stint with Whitetail Edge for a little bit? Ben's probably
I mean, and again, it just felt like, it felt like God's timing, really. I mean, I think his timing is perfect. And so what happened was, you know, I got sick. He had the bone collector boys coming in. I mean, it was early season Kentucky when I got sick. And, you know, that guiding season's about to really kick off and get full swing. He needed someone there. I couldn't do it. Like, I was in and out of the hospital, and it was a hard decision, but I had to leave. It was the last thing I wanted to do. You know, I was working a dream job and young man. Well, me and Ben always stayed in touch, you know, but I started having a family, started having a bunch of kids.
Right.
And
a bunch.
Yeah. Went to work for my dad doing construction, man. And it just, I hated it. Like, I went through a pretty rough spell there. Like, you know, I just wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm. And especially from having a taste of like doing exactly what you wanted to having this something out of your control happen. And then now you have to go back to a 9-to-5. And not that all 9-to-5s are bad, but anyone that's passionate about hunting, like we're hunting, we want to be working.
Yeah.
Our passion. So
exactly. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why I love podcasts so much. I ended up finding working class.
Mm-hmm.
You got, like, you already know, Kurt, I've done told you, you guys kill it. You know,
I appreciate that.
Kick your butt all the time, but you guys run the outdoor podcast game. So,
thank
like,
you
know, I was constantly having earbuds in because I think everyone just got sick of me talking about deer all the time.
Probably. Yeah. Any day job I had, I'm like, yeah, everyone's like, dude, was this guy shut up?
Yeah, I know. Well, that's, I mean, it's like it infected my brain, man. That's all I could think about, you know?
Yeah.
And so like I said, you know, I stayed in contact with Ben. You know, I kind of did some guiding and ran a lease for the boys at Major League Bowhunter and, you know, Chipper Jones and Duff. And I always kind of like tried to stay in the game, you know, and started filming my hunts like out of high school. So, you know, before I met Ben, I was filming, and I really grew in love with that. You know, being able to watch your hunts back and stuff was like, I always loved bow hunting and chasing a deer, but like, it was like a whole other playing field, I guess, you know, that I like fell in love with it.
Yeah.
I just the documentation and everything. And so I always did that, but, and like I said, Ben and I stayed in contact. So I had a giant show up on camera. It was the first one that I filmed for Whitetail Edge. I named him the Sheriff. And I told Ben, I was like, hey, man, I got a big one on camera. You know, I'm still filming and stuff. Like, is it something you would want to use? And he was like, yeah. And I think I killed him within like 5 days. And then the footage was just epic. I mean, couldn't have worked out better. And Ben, you know, Ben's like, well, I guess you're on the show.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so since then, you know, Ben
also how cocky too, in a good way. Like that's Chandler today is like, that's cocky. He got this big buck 5 days later. Hey, this footage is pretty awesome. Am I in or am I not in?
It was October 3rd, man. And it was just like, it couldn't have worked out better. Mm-hmm. So, and he was a stud, but, so yeah, that's kind of how, you know, I ended up getting back affiliated with Whitetail Edge. And since then, you know, I've taken over the social medias and kind of helping with marketing and stuff like that with Ben, and, you know, traveling with him and filming and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you guys, I mean, we're kind of skipping ahead. You guys just launched your own podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the White Tail Edge podcast.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. How's that going?
Great, man. Well, kind of.
It's all right.
You know, it's a lot to learn. And it wasn't like we ever want to become podcast based, because we're always going to be video based. You know, that's just what we do. But it was just like another way. Like, I guess there was a couple reasons why. You know, I've been trying to get Ben to start these for a long time, and it seems like every podcast that Ben is on, the host reaches out and they're like, "Hey, Ben, like, this podcast is doing great, you know, like, because of you." And, you know, people just want to hear what Ben has to say. I mean, the guy is so knowledgeable. He knows so much.
Yeah.
You know, I just think he's such a wealth of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we release a season of White Tail Edge, but, you know, that's only for like, what, 1 or 2 months tops.
Yeah.
And then we're out of content, kind of.
Yeah, and so there's so much you can say on a show, like a video format show.
Exactly. So it was just like one other way for us to get some content to our followers and,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of show some appreciation to them. You know, they're always messaging us and asking like a lot of the same questions and stuff. So I just felt like it was another way for us to cover their questions and kind of give them content.
Yeah, I like it. It's a great idea. And I feel bad, like, you know, Ben hunts. I mean, not real close to where we're at, you know, I'm not blowing up anybody's spot, but like definitely drivable distance where we could have you guys in studio. And we've been trying to make it happen. It just hasn't. It's not as easy as people think. Like, you can't just, the hunting's good. We're hunting. We're doing, we're hunters first.
Well, you guys had some folks in and stuff like that. And Ben ended up leaving a little bit early. And then, you know, when I could have done something, you know, Devin and Trey were there, I believe. And
yep. It was just crazy time.
Yeah, oh, man, it's all good. We'll figure something out.
Dude, so talking deer hunting, we will get that done. So everyone that wants like a full-length WCB off-the-walls beer-drinking podcast, that's going to happen. I don't know how much beer you drink or how much beer Ben drinks, but we always find a way to get people to drink beer when they're here.
We don't really drink. I mean, we could pour some coffee on some beer cans, I guess.
Okay. Whatever we got to do to make it work. We'll just get you caffeined up and call it good. I feel bad. I'm over here drinking beer, which it's like, what else is new? But there we go. That's right. Hey, we have a lot of people who don't drink on the podcast, but they, we put out the energy and they get to match the energy. That's what really matters.
Yeah.
But we'll get into some dicey topics. I think when you guys are in, we talk about some stuff that can kind of get people hot, the listeners hot in a good way and interactive.
Good at that.
We'll think of some ideas on that one. It won't be hard.
Ben's good at that. You know, a lot of people hate him because of the crossbow talk and corn piles, you know, but we'll get into that another time.
Okay. To be continued. But you've had a stellar season so far. I mean, you guys are always killing it. There's no doubt about it. Like, there's people in the industry you just count on are going to kill a deer or be in big deer. And anyone with Whitetail Edge is in that conversation.
Thanks.
So you killed a great buck. Your mom killed an amazing buck. So you're like Doug's mom always outshines him. And I don't know if you have that same thing going on, but let's talk about this season so far.
Okay. So yeah. Ben struck first. I can't remember the exact date on that, but it was 2 days before I killed. He had a buck he named Tall Boy on a farm, an older mature deer. I mean, dude, he had some absolute slammers this year in Ohio, and some of them were younger deer, you know, that he just wanted to wait out on and what have you. He ended up having one that was a 4.5-year-old. We actually posted it on our social media. We named him Magnum. I don't know if you saw that deer. He had like double drop tines on one side, but he ended up dying. He ended up dying from EHD.
That's a bummer, man.
Yeah. Well, we have never had a bout with it with EHD. Ben's never had it, like had to really deal with it in Ohio, but
Iowa gets clobbered with it.
Yeah. Well, it hit hard here in Ohio this year, bad. So, but I guess, you know, we started off, I filmed Ben, he shot an absolute stud, in Ohio called Tall Boy,
mm-hmm.
Epic hunt, great footage. And one of the things was, me and Ben, we have not had the best of luck together, like filming. Like, yeah, we've actually the worst luck. Like, the craziest things happen. And so Ben shot this giant on camera, and I, you know, I pan over to Ben, and he goes, oh, we'll just get that monkey off our back. And but he was an absolute stud deer. I can't wait for everyone to see that footage. It was pretty epic. And then a couple of days after that, I shot a buck that I named Tat. It was my first urban deer hunting experience.
Urban.
It was really cool, man. It was a crazy experience.
What, describe urban, because I know urban can mean, like, there's urban tags in Iowa, and I know guys, like, it's considered urban, but they're still hunting like ag fields and stuff. And then I hear urban, guys are in housing division or, you know, subdivision ravines.
That's where I was.
Does it feel motivating?
Like,
what I mean by that is, if I can see my truck from my tree stand, it takes a little bit of, like, I don't know what it does, but I don't feel as confident. If I'm by a house, I'm like, ah, even though there's probably still a good chance to kill. Does that make sense? You know what I'm kind of getting at?
It does, man. And, like, I went in with this mindset of this urban hunting, like, it was going to be a cakewalk. Especially with the Seek One boys, you know, they make it look so easy sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, like, I have great respect for Lee Ellis, man. He, like, you know, he's a go-getter. Like, I see him knocking on doors, and I can just relate with that. And the whole reason I tried urban hunting, you know, I've always hunted in, like, a country setting, always.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And in Ohio, it's gotten tough. You know, farms are getting chunked up. Everyone is, it's just crazy, man. Like, you get a 40-acre block, 10 people own it. Hunting permission is extremely hard. I've lost leases to preservation parks. You know, can't even lease anymore. Like, it's just, you know, I don't know. Like, I've put so much time into calling people and knocking on doors. I mean, by the thousands.
Yeah.
I mean, my deer cast map looks like it has polka dot. I mean, like, chicken pox, you know,
yeah,
of all the people that I've called.
Well, dude, anything from Ohio to all the way over into probably Nebraska, that entire stretch, it's like impossible to find permission pieces. Public pieces are getting hammered if you're in or not into that. And it's just getting tough. Illinois is bad. But mostly any state that you can get an over-the-counter buck tag in, it's really bad. Yeah. Illinois, Indiana, Ohio. I think even Wisconsin has over-the-counter tags for non-residents. Mm-hmm. It's like that everywhere. I don't really know what to think of it. There's an argument in there somewhere.
I don't know. To a point, it's kind of depressing. I mean, you never thought, you know, when I was a kid, like, I never thought trying to find a place to hunt would be so hard, but it's so much more to me than just a place to hunt, though. Like, I want to find a giant.
Yeah.
And I don't really like to take no for an answer. Like, I'm going to callus up my hand knocking on doors.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. And, you know, for the past 3 years, I've hunted on brand new properties.
Yeah.
3 years in a row. Like, it is what it is, and it's fine. Like I said, you know, I'm not going to take no for an answer, but.
Well, the problem is what happens, that is part of it, because you're killing good deer on permission pieces. And then all of a sudden somebody's distant relatives like, oh, I want to hunt there now. And then you lose it.
That sounds familiar.
It sounds familiar. I bet. I've been on that road. And and what annoys me the most is, like, when you do that, you talk to people, man, I wish I had a piece like that. That must be nice. Like, are you doing any of the work to get a piece? Like, doesn't just come, yeah, go hunt there. I don't care about anything. Have at it. Take some work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was, like, one of the big things. Like, you know, I posted some of my hunts on our YouTube, and I see those comments roaring in, like, no, if I had food plots like that, and, like, dude, like, you have no idea what I've been through. Like, you have zero idea. So while you're sitting there typing, I'm going to keep calling people. I'm going to keep knocking on doors. I'm going to find a giant, and you can just sit there and complain, I guess. You know?
Right. Yeah, get your backpack sprayer out and your hand rake and go put your own food plot in on whatever you have. And if you can't, figure out a spot and hustle and get your piece where you're allowed to do it. And then if you're not willing to do that, then you just can't say anything.
Yeah, dude, I'll till a food plot with a fork.
Right. I mean, if you got to do it, that's what you got to do. I mean, I have equipment now for the first time in my life. And is it dude, it's equipment that is very budget friendly. It leaks. I got, you know what I mean? But I've done it though. We've all done it. Like, I put food plots in with a steel rake before.
Yeah. Well, dude, when you get the keys to a brand new Holland or something one day, you're going to appreciate it so much more.
Oh yeah.
You know, just like Ben, man, I see like Ben all the time. He's like, dude, like I've been there where you're at. Like, you know, cause sometimes I get frustrated. Mm-hmm. I get frustrated by getting told no. And like, you know, I kind of get down in the dumps a little bit, but he's like, I've been there. Now Ben owns some ground and stuff like that. So, you know, it's inspiring for a guy like me to know, like, he came from exactly where I'm at.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it is possible. I can't own dirt.
I think it's easily forgotten, and that, like, most of these big time guys or big legendary brands or big buck killing brands in the outdoor industry all came from humble beginnings. They weren't just like a lot of these guys, I would say most of them, it's not daddy's money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They built their success through hustle and hard work. And whether it's working in another construction business and then funding their side hustle, which is their hunting content project, they're doing the work. They didn't just walk on to what you see Mark Drury kill right now. He didn't just have that and has always had that.
Yep.
The same way, like, you're always working to evolve. Like, if you're putting food plots in with a fork right now, in 15 years, you're like, man, I'll have a tractor by then.
Yeah.
I'm working hard for something. Hopefully. But you never know, right? That's kind of like, if you did know, you probably wouldn't work as hard.
Dude, if I didn't have the tractor, though, I'd still do it. Like,
yeah. It sucks, more, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure. But
this goes back into you. We're going back into you hunting urban. So we're bringing this back, we promise. But I just wanted to get on that a little bit. It's always good combo.
Well, I think it's so important, you know, when it frustrates me to see those, you know, those keyboard warriors talking that crap. And it's like, dude, you wouldn't do half the things that I do to get access, you know, like Ben all the time. He's like, geez, he's like, I can't believe like how many, you know, properties you've picked up this year. And it's just like, I like to cast a big net, you know? I think almost like I see what Ben goes through as a landowner now too. And there's definitely some cons to owning land, you know, whether that be neighbors. I mean, you're putting so much into that property you own and the variables are just stacked against you. I mean, you know, so there's definitely some big cons to owning land too. And I kind of like where I'm at right now, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like getting permission and stuff, but yeah, let's get back to the urban deal and why I even gave that a shot. You know, like I said, I always hunted in the country setting. You know, I was having a lot of bad luck losing leases, losing permission properties, you know, year after year, there was a lot of turnover. And so this year, you know, I started looking at DeerCast maps a lot. They're one of our sponsors now at Whitetail Edge, which is super cool. You know, that Ben is working with the juries again and stuff like that. But
yeah, makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Looking at DeerCast maps, that's a huge tool in my arsenal as a guy that's looking for permission. And started looking at those properties that a lot of people are overlooking. I gave up on the big properties that are 100 acres and over. And I started looking at those tens, those fives. I started looking at this property's connected to this big farm. There's a nice funnel coming into this little spot here. Started moving cameras here in the summer. Started doing a lot of glassing along with the door. And dude, I was able to find some really nice deer this year. And I met a guy. I'm not going to say his name. I'm not going to say which police department he works for, but he runs an urban deer hunting division. He knows who he is. So I appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah. Shout out to him. He knows.
Yeah. So, you know, he starts talking to me about it and I'm like, man, like I've been wanting to try it. You know, I'm going to go all in and started looking for properties. He kind of helped me a little bit and I ended up finding a big deer. He was, I don't know where to go with this, but like, so I went in with this mindset that it was going to be easy. Kind of, you know, taking candy from a baby type deal.
Why is that? Why did you think that?
I don't know. You know, those deer you think are so used to people and your scent's not going to matter.
Yeah, they're like drinking out of kiddie pools and shit.
Yeah, my access is going to be under the swing set. I'm going to go down the slide and get my stand.
Right, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, go through the hopscotch set up there on the side of the house. Right. That's what I think when I think urban hunting for the most part.
Me too. And Uber to my spot. But
yeah, Uber to, yeah, get out. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Right.
But so yeah, so that's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah, like this is gonna be a walk in the park. No pun intended.
Yeah, right.
But so I ended up getting access. I found this deer. I knocked on one door, it was a no. And I got three properties that surrounded it.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was in a different city. And another thing is, like, I had to go through the police department. I had to jump through a bunch of hoops, archery proficiency tests, you know, full background check. There's a lot of stuff I had to do that would probably weed a lot of people out.
Yeah. Like guys with neck tattoos aren't hunting in the city.
Yeah. You wouldn't be like, you wouldn't be like, occur.
Like you can't go in the backyard, there's kids around. I'm like, all right, I tried.
So the crazy thing about this deer was I had him on one camera, but I realized the deer's moving a lot, so I got permission across the street. But the thing was, it was right on the city line, so this deer was going from city A to city B all the time. So mm-hmm. I threw another police department. And so I could hunt the spot across the road.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I could ever have another story like this, you know.
Pain in the ass, it sounds like, but.
It was, but it, you know, definitely worked out and was good. But I was hunting pretty close to a house, had this deer pretty frequent throughout the summer, ended up getting a Novix hung up in there well, you know, 3-4 weeks before the season opener. Season opener, if I remember right, it was pretty warm. I kind of stayed out.
Does the urban season open the same time as just like normal season?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And so I ended up filming Ben. We got that deer done and I was making a move on my deer, you know, and the fascinating part about the deer was, I had to give him the wind 100% because I like that parcel was so small that I couldn't move around or else, you know, I would be infringing on other people's property.
God, how weird.
Yeah. I mean, it was just, so my access and where my stand placement was I was set up to where if that deer came behind me, he was going to be walking in their yard and really exposing himself.
Mm-hmm.
And what was happening was this deer was coming, he was bedding up on this ridge south of me, and he was overlooking the neighbor's house. He was sitting high up on a ridge. He was overlooking the neighbor's house, and he would work his way north, stage up in this area perfectly where I had my tree stand before feeding out in this big grass field.
Mm-hmm.
Literally off of a freeway in between a residential road. There just wasn't a whole lot of room for like me to move, but I felt like my access was perfect.
Right.
And if my scent game was on point, I felt confident I could beat this deer. But watching the cameras, he would only come in on a northerly type wind.
So are we talking, saying that, you know, like you say you had to give him your wind. What are we talking like, because I'm trying to wrap my head around, I'm now picturing like tight housing subdivision. You're in these people's backyards. Like I'm not picturing a lot of woods in here. But like what makes this buck spooked from somebody in their backyard versus spooked from you just another 30 yards in your tree?
Well, so
and it, I like it too specific. Don't give your spot away, but
no, I won't. But so where that deer was bedding up on that ridge, he can see that whole neighbor's house and what's going on. I mean, you'd almost like to think that these deer kind of know people's schedules. Like okay. What's normal and what's normal out of like what's normal and what's not normal out of these people. So like, let's just say at my parents, for instance, they live in the country setting, but they have a big hay field right by their house that, you know, their driveway runs right beside. Mm-hmm. So if they're like out by their driveway or out by their house, the deer that are in the hay field, they'll just watch them and they're fine. But if you were to get in that big maple tree right in the middle of that hayfield that's 40 yards on out, you're going to scare them every time.
Yeah.
So those urban deer, they just know where it's normal for people to be and for them not to be. And that's my perspective of these city deer was, it was wrong.
It was like wind doesn't, you probably thought wind doesn't really matter as much because they're just always smelling people and dogs and everything.
Yeah. Like that. But what they're not used to is smelling somebody that close or maybe up in a tree.
Yeah. And I really do. I mean, obviously deer can tell a difference in that.
Yeah. And this deer was old. I mean, this was the first year I hunted this deer. So I didn't know exactly how old he was. I was going to age him with the jawbone, but I just never did. I was just got lazy. I don't know why. I wanted to know how old the deer was, but
yeah.
I just did.
Yeah.
So, and just to explain this deer real quick, like he had a weak side, one big side, points everywhere. He ended up having 25 scoreable points. Yeah. Just super cool deer. But he had an injury. Let's see, it'd be on his left hoof, affected his right side. His right side was weaker, but big swollen up hoof. I mean, it was kind of nasty.
Mm-hmm.
But so anyway, back to my access, you know, he was bedding on this ridge. He could see the neighbor's yard. He was sitting up high, and then he would work his way with the wind, north wind right in his face. He would come and he would sweep out into this grass field. So he would stage where I had my stand. And so I realized, like, the pictures I'm getting, he's only coming in on a northerly wind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And so opener comes, we get a north wind, and he daylights. That's the only time he would daylight, I should say. Like, he would still come in, but he would only daylight on a north wind.
I got you.
And so season comes. I don't know which date it was, but a north wind comes. I didn't hunt. I just wanted to see what would happen on that north wind. And sure enough, he daylights. The next 2 days are going to be a north wind, northerly type wind. And, you know, pressure's rising. Deer cast says good. Like, it's going to get good. Ben kills. I go out the very next day. I got this three-year-old super 8-point, just beautiful deer come in. Comes in downwind. Kind of knows something's up, but you know, like I've taken my scent elimination to a whole other level this season, knowing I'm gonna have to give this deer my win. And so this three-year-old 8-point comes in, I get the pass with him, he stages up in there and ends up working his way to my right out of my life. And he comes back in from the right, like right underneath me, and working his way directly downwind. So it was a northwest wind that mm-hmm. night. Grass field off to my left, the one that, you know, was like a destination feed. So northwest, 8-point gets right here, probably 15 yards from me. I got this all on video. I'm self-filming. And I look up, and Tat is out in that grass field, like on the edge. And he's scent checking everything before he, you know, comes in and stages in there. And I'm like, oh, man, you know, this 8-point is 15 yards from me. And I don't know if he caught me moving. You know, I'm trying to I got the camera like up here. I had it too high. But the way I was tucked in this tree, I had this like bird's nest around me. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. But I had to have the camera a little bit higher. And so I don't know if he saw me. But I mean, dude, he just had me pegged. And I'm like, man, like the only crack I could possibly get at this deer, and this freaking 8-point is going to ruin it for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So Tat starts working his way in. I think he steps on a stick. The 8-point turns around. So I'm like, all right, this is perfect. I grab my bow. I get stood up. Tat's working his way in. And the 8-point starts like stomping. And I'm like, oh, man, like, you know, he's literally 12, 15 yards. Tat comes in and he starts turning around. And so I drew. And
how close is he at this point?
He's like 25, 30 yards.
Okay.
And he just had me rattled. And I took a shot, honestly, like, I don't even know why I took the shot. Like, for just a quick moment, I had a quartering away hard. And I thought I could tuck it up in there. And like right when I like shoot, like he turns and it's like a straight shot now. So the video, it just, the shot looks ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm like, what? Why did I even take that shot? So he runs out in that grass field to my left about 50 yards and ends up just trotting off. And I mean, I was crushed. I'm like, man, like you just don't get that many opportunities, you know, like how many opportunities you get with an old mature deer like that?
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not thinking, many.
Yeah, I'm thinking he's six plus. And I'm just like, man, I blew it. And so, you mix
and it like bounce off the kid's slide and put a hole in the kiddie pool and
like, yeah,
pay for that.
So let me explain here. So ahead of me, it pinches down.
I didn't mean to put you on blast there.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a timber funnel ridge system. You know, it pinches down a lot, and that's what I'm facing with that grass field to the left. I can't see any houses really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, so it opens up, the farther you go south, and that's where he was bedding, and it opens up in this bigger timber. And, so anyway, he ends up taking off, and I'm like, you know, it's early still. I'm like, man, what do I do? Like, I called Ben and told him and what happened. And I'm like, I think I should just get out. You know, like it's early. I'm going to just let things chill. My Luminox sitting there lighted up. I'm like, you know, if he comes in, I don't want him to see that and like freak out.
Yeah.
So I get down, grab my arrow, head home. It's an hour drive home. A long hour drive home.
Yeah, I was going to say that you just sit in your own thoughts for an hour.
Listening to Gary Allen.
Yeah.
Just
having so it, having a time.
Yeah. I get home and it's just now getting last light. And my Spartan goes off and I saw him like way in the background of this picture. And I'm like, oh, man. Like, so now I'm thinking... So instantly I run out to my truck. I grab all my stuff out of my tote, throw it back in the washer, wash it again. Like I'm doing all kinds of crazy stuff and complaining to my wife, you know, like I don't know how many times she heard me say, I can't believe I missed him.
Well, hey, you can't kill big bucks if your wife sucks. So shout out to her for listening to everything you had to say.
Oh dude, she is the best. She listens to everything. Like I'm so impressed. Like sometimes she goes, man, shouldn't you be getting ready to hunt? Like there's a good cold front. The pressure's rising. I'm like, gosh, I love you.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to have another baby?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
No. Capped out.
Yeah.
So she listens to you basically
whine.
Pour your soul out and whine.
Yeah. It was a rough night, but dude, I had a lot of hope after that, you know, like I beat his nose. Like he knew something was up, but he just couldn't pinpoint me. Like, you know, I wouldn't even let her hug and kiss me goodbye.
Yeah.
You know,
give her all my face palm as she goes in to give you a hug. Just grab your face. Not exactly. Now. I'm like, in the zone.
But don't touch me.
Yeah. Don't touch me.
So, there was definitely some positives to take away from that night of missing that deer. And that was, you know, I was able to beat his nose. Ben hates when I say that, beat them.
You're never fully beating them. They're just not alarmed. I fooled them.
How about that?
You fooled them. That's the best. That's probably the most humble way to really say it, because that's what you're doing. You just got past them.
I got lucky.
Yeah.
Really.
It is luck. But you wouldn't have got past them if you wouldn't have been taking, like, extreme scent control measures.
No, dude, not at all. Like if it was a careless scent control, like, man, it would have never happened. I probably would have never even seen that deer.
Mm-hmm.
So that night I washed all my stuff again, hanging it outside for the night. The next day looks good. I got one more north wind. It switches from a northwest to a northeast. So I'm like, let's go. You know, I got that picture of him at last light, probably too dark for footage. And that's, you know, that's the main goal. If I'm not going to get footage of him, I'm not going to shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
But, so, you know, definitely some pros to take from it. I gear up for the next day, go back out, get out nice and early, switches to a northeast this time. And dude, he comes in from my right this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just straight downwind again. And not to like pump product, but I had a Black Widow. You know, we use Black Widow deer scents. And I have this dominant buck scent and I'm just pumping it. And I did that the night before too, but I mean, I probably used a whole bottle between the two nights. I'm just pumping this dominant urine, you know, just trying to do anything to fool this deer. He comes in from my right, completely downwind, and it takes him like 30 minutes to work his way in, dude. And it was like the longest 30 minutes of my life. He was super on edge.
How far was he? I mean, I know he's slowly working to you, like, but when you first see him, how far is he?
Well, he was bedding on that ridge again. He walked the top of the ridge, and the first time I saw him, he was probably like 45 yards.
Okay.
So he was just, dude, I mean, he was just taking his time, staging in there.
Yeah.
Is what he was doing. And so I'm like, I don't think I've ever been so rattled by a deer. You know, like, you grow so obsessed with a certain deer. You know, you spend so much time and effort with that one deer. You're trying to do everything right. You've got so much invested. Like, when you finally see him and it's about to happen, like, I'd rather it just happen fast and get it over with.
I would too at times. I'm pulling up the picture of your deer here so I can stare at him as you're talking. That's a topic for when you guys are in studio, like, come in fast or come in slow. But
yeah,
I don't know. Anyway, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I like to happen fast, but dude, this buck had me so rattled and frazzed, you know, from missing him the night before. Like, I'm already in my head a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and I shot my bow that day before I went out. It was an evening hunt. So, you know, I spent the day shooting, and I was completely dialed and ready. And so 40 yards, he's staging up in there. I know he's going to come in. He's just taking his time. I've got great footage. I'm self-filming still. He's coming in with two other bucks. You know, it's still early. It's, I think it was September 28th I killed him.
Oh, geez. Ohio? Yeah. You're in, well, wherever state you were in, opens that early?
Yeah. This season, it's always the what is it? The last Saturday of September.
Oh, I don't know why I was thinking. I think I knew that, but I was thinking you guys opened October 1.
So it opened on the 24th. And I shot him on either the 28th or 29th. I can't remember.
Damn. Okay. In my head, for some reason, I was just thinking this was October, but okay.
No, so it always opens on that last Saturday of September, and it just happened to fall on the 24th this year, which was like really early.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, so, you know, they're still kind of bachelored up. And the reason I say that is because I got comments. I posted a little reel, and I posted that video of him coming in on our YouTube, and they're like, oh, this is high fence. Look at all the other bucks with him and stuff. I'm like, no, dude, like, or they said, like, what kind of zoo are you in and stuff like that. I'm like,
well, really good zoo. A lot of deer in this zoo, actually.
It's the Midwest and it's early, so they're kind of still grouped up. But
okay.
So he comes in with that 8-point that was in there the night before with him.
Yeah.
And so I've got a good 3-year-old deer that's got some good senses on him, along with this older buck that I already missed. You know, he's already kind of on alert. He's coming in. He's taking his time, really just, you know, downwind 100%. I'm pumping that dominator spray, and he ends up coming in to 20, 25 yards roughly, and stands there forever facing me, kind of like, mm-hmm. So if you ever see the footage, which you will, and I don't know if you ever saw the reels I posted of him, but I'm, you know, my camera's 2 foot to my right. And so the angle that the camera sees is like, why did you take that shot? Because he's quartering.
Yeah.
But with me sitting 2 feet to the left, I'm seeing something totally different than what this camera is seeing. And the whole time, you know, 25 yards, it's a chip shot. I'm sitting there debating, like, you know, what I'm seeing is lungs exiting what liver maybe coming out. It's like lethal shot.
Yeah, for sure.
And for 6.5 minutes or so, you know, I'm like debating, like, do I take this shot? And finally, like, I make it up in my mind, like, dude, if this deer just decides to turn and just walk out of my life, like, I couldn't, maybe I won't have a shot again, which I probably would have, but, you know, I'm not going to take the chance. If I've got a lethal shot at 20, 25 yards, I'm probably going to take
it. He's right there right now.
Yeah. So I had to clear some branches. I made some adjustments from that night before. I noticed that I was going to have to stand up to shoot, but I trimmed some branches and stuff out of my way as I got sat in there so I could sit down and still have this nest of, you know, cover and foliage around me. Because, you know, I felt like standing up, I was kind of exposing myself because there was kind of a bare spot in the tree. So I wanted to make sure like I could sit down and shoot.
Yeah.
And so I was going to, but then like he had his head down. And so I was like, well, I'm just going to stand up. And so I stand up, everything's good. I go ahead and pull back. And it's like, he was just, he goes back like this to bite, you know, bite on himself. He's going to scratch himself. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, he just exposes everything.
Yeah.
And so I let one fire, dude, and I actually spine shot him. Like, it was so weird because it doesn't look like an extremely high hit, but he did duck a little. But, you know, I mean, I still made a bad shot. It was still high.
Mm-hmm.
But I did spine shoot him. So he drops, and I'm like, oh my gosh, got to get another arrow in him. I get another arrow in him and killed him. So, like, the spine shot and stuff was like, dang it. Like, I didn't want to do that.
Yeah. You never want to do that, but
yeah, so it kind of like ruined my excitement at first, but you know,
a spine shot will kind of knock the wind out of you because all you think about is another arrow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can hear me in the video. I'm like, no.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
But yeah, so I was able to get another arrow in him, and
so he ran 0 yards.
Yeah, well, he actually crawled like 15 yards.
Yeah, and that's worse. You're like, dang it.
Oh, I know, dude. It looked bad, you know, but like,
yeah, but hey, you got to get another arrow in him. Like, that's the number one priority right after that first hit.
Footage went out the window. I was like, I'm gonna get another arrow in him. Like, I'm not gonna follow this deer as he's like trying to crawl.
No, yeah, good on you.
I got a quick arrow on him, hurry up and got down. Like, all the cameras were like left rolling, you know. I'd care less at that point. I just wanted to make sure, you know, he was taken care of. And
yeah,
he was. So but yeah, dude, and the body was just enormous. I was like, holy crap, he was a giant, man.
That's awesome, dude. That's so awesome.
It was special, man. It was quite the urban experience, and you know, I learned a lot about those deer in particular. You know, yeah. I just, like I said, you know, I just thought it was going to be a whole lot easier, and it turns out it wasn't, you know. And
yeah, no, that's good. I'm glad I know that, because I kind of have that. Not that I thought, you know, killing a big buck anywhere is not easy, but I kind of had that perception as well, a little bit, not knowing.
Yeah. Well, then being around all those people and stuff, I mean, it's kind of hard not to have that perspective. And I totally get people that are probably going to end up bashing me on the video and, you know, saying, but, you know, I was so open about it. You know, every time I went in there, I was like, this is my urban spot. You know, this is what I'm going to be doing in here today. And you know, kind of leading up to it, dude, he had some trees in there that were just giant, just shredded. And, you know, all of a sudden that makes you a little excited.
Everybody in the subdivision's mad because all their fresh plant tree. So to get them out of there, did you like, hey, you know, knock on Brad's door, can I borrow your lawnmower with your mulching trailer so I can go in and get them out so I don't have to drive my, you know what I mean? No,
it was a pretty short drag. Called a buddy and he came out to help me load him up, and you know, so
that's awesome, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, so he had 25 scoreable. I'm not trying to brag, but it was my biggest year.
That's 25, awesome.
25 scoreable points, just stuff everywhere. I mean, it kind of reminded me of Devin's like barnacle buck.
Yeah, yeah, all the bases points are just crazy,
all over the bases. It just made him really cool. Chocolate horns and stuff like that. And Buckmasters, you know, like a true like gross score. They scored him at 178.
Yeah, a little bit. Looking at the picture you got of him, he does have a lot of crazy, like crazy curved up hook points and stuff like that.
On that weak side, he's got like these devil horns. It looks like a pitchfork almost. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Super cool. He's just very unique.
Old hog, dude. Yeah, very cool. That's a very unique buck. That's awesome.
Yeah, he was awesome. So the footage was amazing on the night I missed him and the night I killed him. So tons of history on the Spartans and stuff. So I'm just super excited, you know, for everyone to show that or, you know, see that. You know, yeah. I worked so hard filming and documenting everything all summer long. Like, you're going to see me knocking on doors like crazy. And
when's this episode launch, roughly?
We try to launch our episodes like July, you know, like right when everyone's getting excited about, deer season and putting cameras out and stuff like that. We like to kind of, stoke the fire. Yeah.
Makes sense. That's right. When our pod, like, you know, you see that in the, you'll see that too. Cause you're a podcaster now.
Yeah.
You'll see that with the download numbers. Like right now they're good. And then they dip and then they get July. They just start throttling up again. Cause everyone's, you know, I stay in all that stuff cause we live it, but there's a lot of guys that throttle out and then throttle back in.
Yeah.
So you'll see.
But me, I'm searching for content all year long. You know, I'm a student of the game. I want to learn as much as I can, and podcasts are, you know, one way to, you know, learn so much. And, you know, it's almost like you listen to these podcasts and different guests, you know, like you've had so many knowledgeable guests on, and there's just a plethora of information out there to where you could really create like a monster. You know, you're listening to what Mark Drury's tactics are, and you hop over on this podcast, you're listening to Lee Lukoski's, you know.
Yeah.
You can really create like a monster of this guy's tactics and take this guy's, it's almost like Space Jam, those little aliens and take
Yeah. Well, and that's what blows my mind. And I'm not like calling anybody out specifically, but there's like, so there's two categories. We're pushing time here. So we might have to do your mom's story here at the studio when you come here and talk about how she killed a bigger buck than you, but
no, it wasn't bigger.
It wasn't. It looks massive. I thought it was, but we'll just say that for the sake of the podcast. Right. But
yeah, we do need to talk about that deer though.
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah. You see guys that are, well, there's people who started podcasting that already had a name in the space. And there's people who started as a podcaster started a podcast and just didn't have a name anywhere else before that. And the majority of people who started the podcast, I don't know. I don't say the majority. There's a lot of guys who have podcasts that don't kill deer that try to educate on killing deer, whether it's them telling you how to do it with no results. They walk the walk, they don't talk the talk, but then all their guests walk the walk and talk the talk. But you kind of look at that, you're like, man, how come you've never applied all this information you've gotten from guests over X amount of episodes in your own deer hunting?
Yeah. So,
to me, it blows my mind. Like you just have no results, but you're taking the best classes you can take in this topic.
Exactly.
You have a degree as a doctor, but you just never figured out how to actually be a doctor. It's like, what are you doing?
I've met that doctor before.
Right. It's like, what did you do all those classes and spend all that money for and, you know, dedicate all that time? And you're just like, you never applied anything you learned in your classes to actually being a doctor. No one's going to go to your practice.
Yeah.
I mean, still do that with hunting content.
Yeah, no offense to any of those people, but I mean, that's not the podcast I want to listen to. I want to listen to,
right.
You know, like I want to listen to people that have been there, done that. And I want to listen to their guests that have been there and done that. Like, I just don't want to listen to people that are either below me or like, that sounds terrible.
There's no good way to talk about it without sounding a little bit like an a-hole, a little bit.
Yeah. I want to learn from the best. That's the best way to, you know, put it. Like there's, like I said, you know, there's just so much information out there, and you know, like the Whitetail Edge podcast, for instance, like no one's going to want to listen to the Whitetail Edge podcast unless Ben's on it.
You're not giving yourself enough credit.
Well, I'm just saying, like no one knows who,
until they get familiar with what you've done on that podcast. Yes, you're right. Probably. But as people listen and get familiar with who you are, you know what you're talking about, obviously. Otherwise, the story would have been so lame. And and I would have been like, this guy's full of shit. But until people get that and become regular with it, dude, you got to think, our podcast, nobody knew who we were, episode one.
Yeah.
We didn't have a Ben or a Mark Drury to co-host us until they were like, all right, you're good. Now we're taking off the training wheels.
Yeah.
It's just a hustle. That's all it is.
It does give you motivation though, you know, to become that person. And obviously, like I want to have.
I'm not a 200 inch buck killer by any means. I'm not saying that.
Me neither. I'm still like kind of in that. I'm still in a stage, you know. Me and Ben Rising and Mark Drury and stuff like that. Like we're in different stages. I believe almost like you and I are probably in that same stage still, where you know, like we're not going to let a good 4-year-old 160 walk past us probably.
I can't do it. It's tough.
Yeah. I'm not going to do it either.
Yeah.
You know, like there's still bucks that are too tempting for me that Ben would let walk. but for it's sure. just like, this is all part of the process. Like
100%.
You know, my wall doesn't look like Ben's. Hopefully one day, probably not going to look like Ben's.
Yeah.
But like, you know, Ben was in that process too at one point where, you know, he wasn't going to let a 4-year-old 160 walk either.
Yeah.
You know, sure. So I'm still building a resume, but I want to listen to Same. The guys that the resume, like Ben Rising or Mark Jury, like people yeah. that have really figured this out. Like, we can take their tactics and create a monster.
100%. And I guess what I was getting, there's guys not building a resume that are still trying to be like they are building a resume, I guess. Like, guys can be good talkers with no results, and that makes their show probably listenable. But I like to know, like, when I support someone's brand, whether it's outside the hunting industry or in it, I want to know the person with the brand.
Yeah.
And for sure. If I'm into drag racing and this guy's a really good talker and he's telling me all about drag racing, and then I look into him to like, oh, cool, I want to learn about this host, I enjoy a show. If I found out he doesn't know anything about drag racing, nor he's never even drag raced,
he's never won a race,
then why the hell am I going to listen to anything that guy's got to say? Now, yeah. It's different too. Like, there's a lot of ways to slice that, and there's a lot of debates and a lot of arguments in there. But I think it's fun conversation. That's it.
It is.
So,
but just saying. And then another thing, you know, you can listen to all these people and try to create that monster, but there's still stuff that you've got to learn on your own. Like, there's so much that I have learned just on my own from failing. Like, dude, carrying a camera in the woods and cell filming is so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much, there's things that you're going to run into, and whether it be your setup or what happened, and you're going to like, you're just going to know next time, well, I'm not going to do that, I'm going to have it set up here. But you know, those variables change, and it comes with experience that you're going to learn things along the way from maybe nobody can teach you.
Yeah.
You know, sure. There's, it all comes down to experience.
Real experience. Absolutely. I agree with that. So let's talk, we're running short on time, but I want to talk about your mom's buck real quick.
I do too. So we'll make this short. Mom is pretty new to hunting. I think maybe 5-6 years of hunting. Mm-hmm. They own acres, my parents do. Mom, you know, has cut her teeth just like any of us have, and trying to, you know, she's just learning. She's learning as much as she can. She's a pretty good student too. So we had a buck this year. You know, she's never shot anything real big, like some dinkers actually.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's all part of the process again.
It is.
She skipped a couple of steps this year. So I had this buck show up on the Spartan this year, and I think I had him last year, and I have to look into this, but super tiny body, huge rack, 14 points, kicker off a G2, tall tines. I'm like, dude, this deer is serious. Like,
yeah,
this deer has genetics that you'll never see again in your life. Knowing for sure, like, this deer's 3, there's zero doubt this deer's 4. Like, his body's just
the reel you posted of the deer right now while you're talking about this.
You can tell he's 3. Right? Or
I mean, are you looking of her sitting with it?
Oh, okay. So if you look at my Instagram, Kurt, like, I think the night before I posted a trail cam video.
Yep.
Look how slender he is.
I'd say he's 3 or just a slim 4-year-old.
Yeah, but dude, like, if I show you other videos, I'll text them to you after this, but I'll show you some other videos. You're like, dude, no doubt that deer is 3.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't look heavy bodied.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, I don't know, we're going to have Buckmaster score him up, but I'm thinking he's like 70.
Dang. I can see that. Look at this. Yeah. He's got points all over, man.
He's stacked. 70. So let's just say he is 70. Let's say he's 160 at the worst, which I know he's bigger than that. But
he's bigger than 160.
Let's say he's 160 at 3. Dude, it's scary to know what that deer could turn into.
Yeah, right. Right. And I need to look more into that Buckmaster score system. I don't know much about it, to be honest.
It's just a true gross score. Like, that's all it is.
Okay.
It's no deductions. That's all it is.
Yeah. That's how they should be scored. That's a stud, dude. Congrats to.
Yeah, which there, you know, on that year, there isn't a ton of deductions. I mean, there's the kicker and, you know, what have you. But
I love his frame, man, and everything. He's not, he don't have a weak point on him.
No. So definitely probably the biggest three-year-old I'll ever see in my life. I showed Ben and he goes, dude, I've never seen a three-year-old that big in my life.
Yeah.
I feel, and so does Ben, like that deer could have been the next world typical record. Like
at six or something, five and a half, six and a half.
Dude, like it's no telling what he would be next year. But can't anyway.
That, it's cool to think about, but
yeah,
that's cool, man. That's very cool. She does so, she what she shot? Does she understand like the magnitude of what this is?
Yeah. Well, you know, I told her like this deer is going to be the next world record and stuff like that. But, you know, she's new. I couldn't expect her to pass that deer up. The neighbors are hunting him. They only have 30 acres. Like, you know, that deer is going to get killed probably.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, she ends up shooting it. I'm at my daughter's friend had a birthday party. I look at my phone. There's 8 missed calls from my mom. I'm like, I call her back.
Hurt or something happened.
She's like, She's like, where have you been? Look at your phone. So I look at the text and, you know, she propped her phone up in a tree and took a picture of her with this deer. I'm like, no, you didn't, mom. You know, so we get over there and yeah, she totally understands like what this deer was. And, she sent me a picture of it skull capped last night. And I was like, that's a stud. She goes, I never thought you would say my deer was a stud.
That's so awesome, man. That is so awesome.
She totally gets, you know, what she shot. So yeah, I'm super her, but you know what that deer could have been was as special. And then just here real quick, we might have some, my dad is after a giant, probably 180. He was 5 in 2018 and we had a picture of him. Mm-hmm. And he is a giant, probably 180. And then my brother's getting ready to come in town and I got like a 170 for him. So like it could be a banner year for the Gandies.
That would be cool, man. That would be cool. If that happens, you guys need to do like that classic, here's all our mounts on the barn photo. Some people love and hate those. I think they're cool. Yeah. But yeah, as a family, you have to do that.
Yeah, dude. Not too many moms out there shooting 170s.
No, so. Not many. Not many at all. Maybe Doug's mom, but that's about it.
Right.
We need to do mom's podcast.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
It'd be dangerous. We'd be getting a lot of comments about everybody's moms, and I don't know if we want that or not.
Probably not.
We don't really want that. Well, dude, where can people find you? Where can people find Whitetail Edge?
All right. So you can find me easily and probably most of my content on Dylan Gandy_WhitetailEdge. That's Dylan with an O. And then Whitetail Edge official on Instagram, on our Facebook, YouTube. We even got a TikTok. And then the Whitetail Edge podcast.
Cool. Awesome, man. Well, thanks so much for sharing those stories. I love what you guys are doing. You guys are killing it. Looking forward to get you and Ben in the studio, the WCB. We don't really have an official name, honestly, but just get you in the WCB studio.
Good.
What's that?
I think just leave it at WCB studio.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what it
is. Cool, man. Well, yeah. Thank you. Great story. That was a really good buck story. I'm glad to hear you didn't put a hole in the kiddie pool next door or ruin any games of jump rope or hopscotch or anything like that in your urban hunt.
Me too, man. I appreciate you, Kurt.
I appreciate you, buddy. Thanks for the support. And I will be there to help you with your podcast anytime you need me, for the record.
You've been so helpful. I really appreciate that, man. You're a great dude.
You are too, buddy. Well, I appreciate you. Everybody, thank you so much listening, watching, supporting us, supporting Whitetail Edge on DeerCast as well. If you don't have DeerCast, you're listening just on the WCB side of things, what are you even doing? Get the app. Support us, support the jury, support Whitetail Edge. You know what to do. Go shoot a giant. We love you, and we'll see you next week. Peace.